as I said last week, these 3 weeks of Lent, the third Sunday, the fourth Sunday, and this, the fifth Sunday, are some of my favorites of the entire liturgical year because we get to hear some very profound encounters that Jesus has with members of his family, members of his community. 2 weeks ago, of course, it was the woman at the well. Last week, it was the man born blind. And today we hear about Jesus' encounter with Lazarus, and perhaps even more importantly, his sisters, Martha and Mary. And like the blind man we heard about last week, something terrible had happened to a person. And also, just like last week, Jesus says that there's a reason for this. Lazarus, he said, had become ill so that God could be glorified, and so that the power of God could be made visible to the world. Once again, this story is very relevant and important for our own times. Some of the ways of thinking that we see in the gospel, in Martha and Mary, are actually some of the same thoughts that we have going through our heads right now. First of all, the town of Bethany, where Lazarus and Martha and Mary lived, was known to be a very small town. And in small towns, as so many of you know, everyone is very important. Everyone plays a crucial role in the functioning of that community. Everyone's job mattered. If somebody is taken out of that community, it could potentially cause some chaos. It was one fewer pair of hands to farm or to do other work that people needed to survive. And so aside from the emotional toll of losing a family member, a friend, or a neighbor, Martha and Mary found themselves in a very difficult situation economically. Their brother was no longer able to earn money for them or to buy food, was no longer able to work their own land. And so the coronavirus and the economic shutdown that we're also going through, it's causing some similar anxieties in many people in our community. Some are dealing with the emotional pain of a loved one's illness, or perhaps even their death. Others are dealing with the reality of losing jobs and the stress that they're no longer able to provide for their family. And again, these are things that obviously cause us a lot of anxiety, and if you are going through any of those things, I want you to know how sorry I am for you and to assure you of my prayers. But for Martha and Mary, this stress caused them both to ask some questions of Jesus. They ask separately, "Where were you?" They say, "If you'd been here, then my brother would not have died. This terrible situation wouldn't have happened." And even today, many who are dealing with the difficult realities of this virus and the economy are asking the same question. Where was God to prevent my loved one from getting ill? Where was God from preventing my loved one from dying? Where is God in this moment of economic stress and anxiety? And so Martha, she goes on a little bit. And she makes a little comment here that's also important for us. And it's a comment that's very similar to one that I've heard many times, especially doing funerals. When Jesus says he will rise, she says, "I know that he will rise at the resurrection on the last day." In other words, she's kind of saying here, yeah, I know that God is going to do something before us far off in the future. It's like when someone passes and people say, he's in a better place now, and one day, far off in the future, we'll all be reunited with them in heaven. Okay? Even though that's true, it can ring a little bit hollow to a lot of people. And, of course, there's truth in that statement. But it can become problematic because it leaves out God's desire to work here in the present moment. It presents God's work as always being something far off in the future and not here and now. And so Jesus says, no, the works of God that you're talking about aren't far off in the future. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I'm right here, and I am able to work in your midst. And so Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus comes out of the tomb to everyone's amazement. Scripture doesn't tell us much about Lazarus and Martha and Mary after this moment. What happened? What happened to them afterwards? Did things go back to the way they were before? Before he died? Before he got ill? I hope not. I would hope that things didn't go back to the way they were before Lazarus's illness. I would hope that some of the worldly anxieties that they had passed away. I hope that they stopped bickering at each other about stupid things. And we know that they bickered. You recall the story from the other gospel where Martha becomes upset that her sister Mary was not helping her with any of the housework. She complains to Jesus, "Don't you see that she's not helping me?" I hope some of those complaints, in light of this amazing miracle that they saw, I hope that some of those complaints stopped. I would hope that some of the things that distracted Lazarus and Martha and Mary from spending time together would have been laid to rest. If Lazarus had a job, maybe he didn't work for a wage, but maybe he helped other people in his community. But if he did have a job, I would hope that he went back to work with joy and gratitude, and that his boss would be thankful for the hard work that he put into that job every day. I would hope that some of the things that maybe they spent money on would have changed, so that they could provide for their basic needs or be prepared to help somebody else if they were ever in that awful moment of grief and worry. And so this is also relevant for our own times. Everyone seems to be saying they can't wait for life to go back to normal, as if the way things were before any of us had ever heard about the coronavirus were so great. Everyone wants life to go back to the way things were before we knew what the coronavirus was. And I actually don't find myself with those feelings. Don't get me wrong, I hope that this ends soon and that we can all come out of our homes. But I really hope that things don't just go back to the way they were before the coronavirus. I hope there are a lot of changes because our way of life prior to the coronavirus wasn't actually all that good. We've been talking about this. Psychiatrists, other mental health experts have been pointing out for months and even years that we have some serious problems on our hands, that people are very unhappy and experiencing a lot of despair in life. And even though for some, depression and anxiety comes from chemical imbalances, all right, maybe things that have a medical solution, the reality is that depression and anxiety are also increasing because our way of life is kind of depressing. We've become selfish it became normal somehow to put career aspirations above the duties and joys of family life. Same thing with social aspirations. I remember when I was younger and immature, I couldn't wait to leave my parents' house to go spend time with my friends. But my parents were always home when I got back. They were like that safety net that I needed. Today, many spouses and parents are just as eager to get out and hang out with their friends as I was as a teenager. Rather than spending time doing the hard but rewarding work of being a spouse and parent, or brother or sister or son or daughter. I hope we don't go back to that. I hope we can choose something better for ourselves. And we've often talked about, and this is my observation, but it's also an observation that I know many of you have had, that people are overburdening themselves with activities. We all know it. And I know that there were days when you said to yourself, I wish I didn't have to do all of these things. I wish we could just have a day of rest. But you were too scared in those moments to actually quit. You were too scared to actually say no to some of those things. You felt pressure to keep up the burdensome schedule of sports, music, dance, school activities, whatever. Well, this is your moment. This is your moment to detach yourself from some of those things and to actually grow as a family. This is your opportunity. And so I hope we don't go back to the way things were. We'd all be happier if we slowed down a bit and rested and just did some things in our own home with our own families, and getting to know the people who actually live on our street. Prior to the coronavirus, we looked to wealth for security rather than God. But here's the thing. Those who are wealthy, they know a secret. They know a secret. They know that wealth can actually be burdensome. We think of money as opening up opportunities, giving us more freedom. We can do more of the things that we want to do if we have this wealth. But the reality is that money can actually restrict our freedom, because having money comes with being part of a culture of wealth, a social class, that can actually be very oppressive. And if you're in those circles, I think you know what I mean. We'd be happier living a simple life. And so I hope we don't go back to the way things were when money oppressed us. Some have lost a lot of wealth in the last few weeks. I've lost wealth in the last few weeks. But if we do take this moment and choose a new way of life for ourselves, it will be worth it. It will be worth the economic cost. This, again, is an important and crucial moment for us. Sheltering in place could be something that winds up defeating us and destroying us, just like the tomb, just like the grave. The grave, Lazarus's grave, it was a sign of defeat. It was a sign of despair. Okay, sheltering in place could be something like that. It could be a sign of defeat, or it can be a moment where we glorify God. When Lazarus stepped out of his tomb, okay, it says that he was bound by these burial bands. Even though he was alive, these bands prevented him from full freedom, from full movement. Well, when the day comes for us to step out of our homes, I hope that we'll take off the bands, the worries and the preoccupations and idols that prevent us from being truly free. if maybe you're not Catholic or even a religious person at all, if you don't do it for God, if you don't do this for God, do it for the people around the world losing their lives, or the lives of their loved ones, or their livelihoods. Make their losses count for something. Make their losses mean something. Don't let them die in vain. Honor them by choosing a fuller and freer way of life. Don't go back to all the things that used to stress us out and cause us to complain about the people around us, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, people at school, whomever they happen to be. Don't go back to that. Choose something fuller and freer. The teachings of the Lord will help us to discover what that life is, and His own Spirit dwelling in us will help us to live them.